Consumer Watch with Wendy Nola.
Darren, Kerry and Sky here on East Coast Radio, and it is time now for all of your consumer-related questions. Wendy Nola is on the line. She'll answer any question you have concerning anything to do with consumers, consumer-related questions, and you just need to WhatsApp your questions to 061-792-9495. You can text it. You can leave a voice note. Don't say I'm anonymous. Always put in a nice, interesting name there. And let's just make sure we have Wendy on the line. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Darren.
Answered, Wendy.
Hello, Wendy.
Nola.
Wendy.
Hello, team.
Before we get
good
started,
to be with you.
Wendy, Sky has a question for you.
Yeah, hello, Wendy.
Hello, Sky.
Just quickly, I have a question here about returning stuff. So I bought a hand sanitizer, and then when I got home, it smelt like gin. But then I then put it in a glass and put some tonic, and it actually tasted quite nice, like as a gin tea.
Yes.
So I want to know, since I've opened it, can I still return it for sanitizer?
Okay, a very silly example to illustrate a very important point. So if you buy something in the normal way from a shop and it's defective in some way, now in your case smelling like gin, that would be, that's quite subjective.
It's effective.
You're only... If you could prove that it didn't contain 70% alcohol or whatever it claimed to contain, and that's another story we've done on the show, then absolutely you could get your money back whether, you know, you've used it or not.
Okay.
If,
okay.
However, there's nothing wrong with it, they don't have to take it back. They might want to because it's, gosh, I'm lala, but there's no legal compulsion for them.
Wendy,
to
just wants a refill.
Wendy, he doesn't get to send it back. If he didn't pick up the signal when they gave him the sanitizer with a six-pack of tonic water, then it's his own damn fault.
All right, yes, and he's dealing with illegal merchants as well.
We've got to move on, Wendy. We have on the line for you, Eugen Govender. Eugen has a question about an electricity bill. Eugen, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you doing, Kerry?
Good, thank you. Welcome to the show. Your question for Wendy.
Great, how's it, Wendy? How are you doing?
Hi again, good, thanks. Go ahead with your question.
Okay, Wendy, basically I received my electricity bill or my light and water bill last month, and it gave me a bit of a shock. It came to around about 25K.
Yo.
Now, my question is, obviously I've owned my property over the past 5 years and I've been paying an average of around about 2,500 to 3,000 per month, light water, which I assume was light water and rape. So when we received this bill, I took it through to the department and I said to them, guys, what's going on here? And they went up to the system and they said to me, listen, it looks as if you haven't been paying electricity from 2018. All you've been paying is your rate and water. So to my shock, I said to them, okay, cool, I understand. But I receive a bill every month. And at the end of that bill, it says you owe 3,000 rand or 4,000 rand, whatever the case is, and I pay that. Now my job to go through that bill to realize that there's no electricity. The question I ask them is, okay, fair. Now somebody got up in the department after 2 years and said, listen, you can't even pay electricity. Why didn't you come back to me after 2 to 3 months or cut my lights or do something or advise me that you haven't been paying your bill?
That's a very good question, Wendy.
It's a very interesting one because you weren't defaulting. You were paying exactly what you were being asked to pay. There is an argument that we as consumers need to be going through our bills. Electricity is a rather large component of what we're paying in our consolidated bills every month. Sorry, not to point fingers at you again, but there is an argument that you should have noticed. Like, I've dealt with so many of these type of cases with other commodities over the years. So there's a small liability there on your part. And yes, if they can substantiate it, and I don't know how, because I'd have to rely on an awful lot of, what's the word, when they assess the bill based on certain previous usage, not on actual usage. But what I would suggest, short answer, is are they expecting you now to pay the backlog in one hit again?
Well, that's the problem, because we've been to the department. Now, we've been pushed from pillar to post because now, obviously, of COVID, now we stay in the Chatswood area. We've been to the Chatswood electricity department, and they're now closed down because someone's got COVID. So they sent us to the Durban area. Durban area says, we can't assist you. You need to go to Chatswood. And then we eventually got a hold of
I'm just mindful of having to go to headlines. I want to just tell you that you definitely have a case to negotiate a paying off situation.
Yeah.
For you to have to pay it in one lump sum or get cut off is not reasonable.
Yep.
If you need help with that, please email me and I will send an email to the municipality's media department to get that sorted out. But bottom line, you shouldn't have to find 25.
You should be able to come. No, they will work out terms for you. You can email Wendy. Go to her Facebook, Wendy Nola Consumer. There's a mail option there, and she'll look out for you again there. We have all of your questions will be asked and answered right here, the consumer-related questions. Just WhatsApp your questions to 061-792-9495. It's Dua Lipa, Break My Heart, 20 to 9 with Darren, Kerry and Sky here on East Coast Radio. It's Wendy Nola with us the whole day. All of your consumer-related questions answered right now. If you have any questions, you can WhatsApp them to 061-792-9495. We can even call you back if you like. We have Helga on the line. Helga, what's your question for Wendy?
Good morning. Wendy, basically I would just like to know, I was given notice for a living complex was used to, and I was given notice for the end of May as the unit that I was living in had been sold. Now due to lockdown we couldn't leave immediately, so I continued to pay my rent to the developer. Obviously the deed office wasn't open and the transfer hadn't come through. So I kept my rent up to date. We have left at the end of July now. We've just moved into our new place. I just want to find out that the purchaser actually paid an additional 10,000 rand to have the unit taken care of and repainted and all the rest. Do they have any reason to hold my deposit?
No, a deposit is there to pay for, well, if you abscond and didn't pay your rent, that didn't happen, or if you cause any damages beyond fair wear and tear in the unit. So, and it can only be, they can only deduct from your deposit for that reason if there was an inspection when you moved in and the rental agent or the developer, whoever it was, and yourselves agreed to the condition, and then a similar joint inspection done as you moved out. So everyone agrees, okay, look, that tile wasn't cracked when you moved in. There's no record of it. So you're liable for that replacement of that section or whatever. So only what you agreed to in that joint exit inspection can they deduct from your deposit with receipts showing, you know, they can't just thumb suck the amount. If there was no exit inspection, then you are it's taken then that everything was fine and you're entitled to a full refund. But it seems like if the new person moved in has fixed anything anyway, they can't profiteer out of it. So there's nothing that needs to be fixed for whatever reason. You must get your full deposit back within between 7 and 14 days, depending what went on, depending if there was something that needed fixing or not. Does that help?
Very, very much so. Thank you.
All right. So I'm glad that one was cleared up for you, Helga.
And then, Wendy, I've got a question here for you from Peter. Peter says, Wendy, my son is currently at university in Potch. He had rented a flat there in his name, but I've been paying for it. We decided to terminate the contract on July 1st, July being the notice month, and then he moved out on the 21st of July. The agent got another tenant for that flat, but the lease agreement says we must give 2 months' notice, and now they don't want to refund the deposit to my son. What is our legal position?
Okay, so they're seeking to withhold the deposit because they're saying they only got 1 month's notice and they actually wanted 2 months further rent out of them. This is very common, this 2 months' notice in lease agreements. It's not supported by the Consumer Protection Act fixed term agreement, section 14, which says that a tenant can leave with 20 business days' notice, essentially a month's notice. If that's at the end of the lease, which it was in this case, there can be no penalty unless, as we discussed, so the previous caller, you know, there's damages to the flat or whatever. But certainly to force somebody to give 2 months' notice when their lease is up is absolutely not supported in law. So I would certainly advise Peter to take that up. If you leave, I have to say, before your lease is up, you can be made to pay a cancellation penalty as long as it's substantial. renovated, because obviously they now have to incur new costs to get a tenant in when they were banking on you being there for the full year or whatever it was. So but you can, as a tenant, leave at any time with just a month's notice. But as I say, if it's an early lease, you're cancelling your lease early, then you must be prepared to pay some penalties.
All right, I hope that answers your question there, Peter.